This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another very special edition of Lead Singer Syndrome. This one's super exciting because I don't talk to one, I don't talk to two, I talk to three different lead singers, and they are all appearing on this year's Vans Warped Tour. Before we jump in, I gotta make sure to tell you guys, you gotta be subscribed. And the reason you have to be subscribed and why it's even more important is because tomorrow, I'm coming at you with part two of the Warped Tour special with three more singers that are on this year's tour. Now, sadly, Silverstein, we did the whole thing last year, so we won't be on it, but I hope to come by a few dates. A little history on my Warped Tour experience, and I do talk about this later in the episode, but my very first Warped Tour was in 1997. I attended the tour in London, Ontario, and it was the third year they'd ever done it. I really wanted to go in 96 because my favorite band, and still one of my favorite bands of all time, NOFX, was playing, and I couldn't get a ride. So in 97, me and my friends, we begged my friend's dad to drive us all the way to London, Ontario, which is, you know, 2 hours from Toronto, basically, to go. And it changed everything for me. Warped Tour changed everything for me. I remember I saw some of my favorite bands like Pennywise, Lagwagon, Millencolin. Blink-182 played that year, actually, and I missed them to watch Millencolin instead. And there was another band whose first record I dug. They were called Sugar Ray. And their singer jumped right on top of me, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty nuts. And the other thing about Warped Tour, it was the first time I ever experienced just seeing band members, you know, walking around the park. I saw two guys from Lagwagon, and I was just like, hey, Joey. And he's like, hey, man. And I was like, can you sign this? He's like, of course. And, like, you know, having that experience as a 16-year-old, you know, for me, it was just crazy. And I have gone to Warped Tour every year since. And Silverstein has been lucky to perform on the tour now 6 times. So today, it goes without saying, we have a great show. I speak with Kellen Quinn from Sleeping With Sirens. I speak with Aaron Barrett from Real Big Fish. And I speak with my friend Daniel from Capsize. All awesome people, all from different walks of life, different generations. I thought it was great to include them all together. And you really have, you know, somebody that was an artist on the very first one I saw. I saw Real Big Fish play in 97. And then a little bit later generation, Sleeping With Sirens, and now kind of the new breed with Capsize. So it's a really great mix, a great episode. Sit back, relax. I hope you enjoy. I also really want to thank Kevin Lyman and everybody at Warped Tour for letting me do this, giving me the list of bands early so I could figure out who I wanted to talk to. And of course, Jabberjaw Media, my producer Nick, Mike Mowry for helping me put this all together as well. And please, once you're subscribed, feel free to go check us out on social media. We got a Facebook, we got an Instagram, we're on Twitter. Hit us up on there with your suggestions for other shows. And if you're just checking out this for the first time, we've got like 18 of these already we've done, and they're all pretty sweet. So thanks again for all that. And if you want to hit me up by email, it's real simple. It's just leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. The first guest needs no introduction. He's an amazing singer, dynamic frontman, in a very successful and great band. Here's my conversation with Kellen Quinn of Sleeping With Sirens.
Hello, Shane.
Hey, man. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Yeah. What's up, dude?
Awesome, man. I'm just hanging out. We're on tour. I'm sure you know it, the Sunshine Theater in Albuquerque.
Oh, I know that place very well.
I've heard it's haunted. I don't know if this is true or not.
I haven't really experienced anything. Definitely not like the raves.
Oh, yeah. But you think the raves? That's funny. I was talking to Jenna from Tonight Alive. We were talking a little bit about haunted places, and she was at the rave that night, and we had been there like 3 days before, and I've heard that that place isn't even haunted.
Really? I've gotten some crazy pictures.
I would love to see.
I've gotten some good pictures, dude. Definitely a lot of orb action going on there.
Oh, and yeah,
then,
yeah. What the places?
I got a picture. I don't know. It could have been just a mess up on my phone, but I had someone take a picture of me walking in the balcony from the back, and it looks like there's like this like white figure like kind of hanging above my shoulder.
Oh, dude.
So it's pretty trippy.
Absolutely. That's crazy. Yeah, no, I mean, the rave is like wicked creepy, you know, like because it's all, you know, it's like all just like old fashioned, like, and they have those red lights everywhere, you know.
Have you ever gone upstairs in like the bar area, like have like the pictures of when it was being constructed?
Oh yeah. No, I've checked it. Like we played there so many times. Like I've checked it out and I've seen, I think the first time we played there was like probably close to 15 years ago. So like it's changed even over 15 years. It used to be even like way, like the pool and all that stuff is like super creepy. And like the roof, I don't know if you can still go up on the roof, but it's weird, man.
Yeah, well, there's a picture of like a black and white when they're constructing like the old building, and if you look at the beams at the top, there's just like three pentagrams.
Really? Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we make it creepier than it really is, but
maybe.
It's good to have. I always loved going like ghost hunting when I was little. So
absolutely. No. Anything to make a day on tour a little more interesting. As well.
Right.
Anyways, man, let's jump into it, man. Basically, we're going to chat a little bit about Warped Tour, which you guys are slotted on the entire thing this year.
Yep.
It must be nice to finally be able to talk about it.
Yeah, it's good, dude. It's exciting. I always love doing Warped Tour. You know, we've done like a couple days, like over a couple years, like we would just do like 4 or 5 dates, but it's just not the same. It's like when you do the whole thing, you get in like a rhythm, and you can tell like when you go watch other bands that have been doing it from the beginning of the summer, there's definitely a rhythm. They go up on stage, they know exactly what they're doing, they kill it. And there's no other tour like it. I mean, we've been in a band for about 6 years now, and it's just fun. It's awesome. It's a quick set, which is nice, because when you're on a normal tour, you're playing for like an hour or so now, especially for us headlining now, it's almost like an hour to an hour 15.
Yeah.
And so when you get to go on a summer work tour vacation and only play for 30 minutes, it's like, it's no problem. It's like the fastest set probably now for us.
Right.
So.
But the problem, and you know, we've done Warped Tour, my band's done Warped Tour, what, 6 or 7 times now. The problem we always have is like, you know, we have 7 albums. You guys have what, 4 albums now? How do you pick a set list?
Yeah, like what songs do you play?
That's the worst part for me, you know? So what we've tried to do is actually switch it up every day. And, you know, we'll do like...
I love that.
We'll do like, yeah, so we'll set it up so we can do, like, let's say we have like 7 or 8 slots of songs we can play. We'll be like, all right, so we can open with like these like 3 or 4 songs, and then we kind of mix and match. So that's something that we've tried to do, just, you know, especially with so many people traveling to multiple dates, like fans, you know? And,
yeah.
So that's something we've tried to do, but I know it's not in the cards for every band.
That's nice. You must not have a lazy band, because I feel like I would love to do that. Like, I don't like being confined to like click tracks, and I hate all that stuff, because I like to be able to like switch things up on the fly. I think that's the best part about doing music. It keeps it interesting for you. And if it's interesting for you, then it's going to be interesting for the fans and, you know, the kids to watch you, because you're excited to be able to like kind of put that rock and roll back in rock and roll. But
that's a super good point. Yeah.
My band is very lazy, so they like to just play the same shit all the time. And it's a constant battle of me being like, dude, we can't just play the same song like we always do, you know, like we got to switch it up and do something interesting. So we've definitely talked about doing some interesting stuff for this summer's Warped Tour, about maybe doing like bringing back some of like the oldest songs that we have, maybe just to surprise kids, and maybe seeing if we could do some sort of mashup or something to where
right.
It's like, holy shit, I can't believe they haven't played that song in like 4 years. And then, you know, we're going to have probably a couple new singles by the time Warped Tour comes out, or at least one new single. So we'll be playing that.
Right. Yeah. So you're already like, it's funny, right? You're already talking about like a decent chunk of the set gone, you know, just doing
yeah,
that.
There's already yeah, two man. Songs. So now we only have, and then every time my band's on tour, like, you know, Jack, my lead guitar player, he's always like, dude, you just got to play the hypest song. You can't go play any, we can't play any of the ballads. We got to play just like the hypest song possible. Because yeah. That's what Warped Tour is. It's all about hype.
Right. But can you imagine,
like, cool, dude.
Can you imagine playing an hour and 10 minutes on Warped Tour? You'd die. You would die. There's no other way to put it.
There's no way. You'd either, you'd either, you would die or you'd end up getting asthma from all the dust.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the dust is the worst. That is the worst. Somehow I forget about the dust. I know, like, I don't know how, because it's a real thing, but when I think back to Warped Tours in the past, I think of the heat. I think of, like, having to walk, like, 5 miles to get to catering or something. I don't think about the dust, but that might be the worst part.
But you know what, though? It's as much as you and I can be like, yeah, that sucks. Like, think about the kids that sit out there all damn day. So it's like, I can't really complain because you get to go back to air conditioning and, like, kids don't get to do that. So props to kids coming out to shows on Warped Tour and sticking out all day. Like, thank you guys.
Absolutely.
Like, appreciate it.
I mean, you must have went to Warped Tour as a fan when you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
I did. And
isn't it amazing, though? Like
global,
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I feel like global warming is definitely taking an effect, though, dude. Because, like, when you play, like, Arizona or Vegas, it's almost just, like, unbearable. Like, I always am thinking, like, I don't know how kids are doing this all day long, you know?
I know. Well, you remember in 2013, we were both on the tour. That day in Vegas was crazy. Like,
dude, my uncles came, and the one of my uncles had to, like, go home because he was just so, like, he like, passed out. And he couldn't even handle being out there for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
he loves my life every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. But no, I think, I don't know, it's a combination. Like, I've been going to Warped Tour either playing or as a fan since 1997. That was the first one I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, like, back then, I don't think it was that much hotter. I'm also from Toronto, so I'm not from Vegas or Phoenix. But
right.
I'll tell you, man, I would be there from, like, I'd be the first one in line. I'd be the first one, like, the last one to leave. I, like, wouldn't stop, you know? And I honestly think it's just because I'm in my 30s now. I think that's the real story.
I think it's just, like, the excitement. I mean, that's the cool thing about Warped Tour. There's so many artists to see. Even if you haven't, like, heard of an artist before, you know, there's so many, like, stages, and you never know. I mean, like, you could be watching a band play, like, on the grass, and then 2 years later they're playing main stage, so you never know. Like, it's cool to, like, check out all the bands that you love on main stage and some of the bigger stages, but my advice is to keep an eye out for some of these younger bands coming up that you may not have heard of. Like, give them a listen and give them a check out, because, like, I remember watching Under Oath from First to Last play on Ernie Ball stage. Like, Under Oath played Ernie Ball stage right before They're Only Chasing Safety dropped, and then like the next year, dude, they were just massive. So it's like, I got a chance to see them play before they were, like, big. And that's just, like, a cool story to have.
Was that in Florida? Did you grow up in Florida? Is that right?
No, I saw them play in Michigan. It was in
in Michigan. Okay.
I think it was in Detroit.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's crazy. No, and that was, like, in probably 2004, I think. And we were with,
yeah, it was 2004.
Yeah. We were on the same stage as Under Oath too at that time.
I watched you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I stuck basically to that stage because those were all my favorite bands.
Yeah, it was such a cool time, man. Like, and we really felt like you just mentioned From First to Last and us and Under Oath. Like, there were times, I think it was, like, the Smart Punk stage, to be honest with you, what it was called. And we would play back to back, and it was, like, really cool because we felt like there was this sort of movement happening, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
And I think that still exists on Warped Tour. You just got to dig deep. And I totally agree with you. Like, yeah, if you're at Warped Tour and, you know, maybe you're not feeling like one of the main stage bands, definitely take a walk around and check out some things, because there is some, like, amazing bands happening all day long. And we've all,
absolutely,
none of us started on the main stage. Like, we started on a stage that wasn't even, like, on the schedule, you know, the first year we played Warped Tour.
Thing. Like, so, yeah, there's, I remember walking around in 2004 and like discovering some of my favorite bands, like, weren't even playing on a stage. They were playing literally on the grass. So I think that it's important to definitely, like, to look at the schedule, cross off some of the bands. Like, if you've seen a band before, like, my thing is, if you've seen them, you've seen them. Yeah, it's cool to, like, check it out and see them again on Warped Tour and have, like, that energy and all that stuff. But maybe, like, if you've seen a band a few times, like, skip that band and go see someone else. Like, check out something else and open your experience up to listening to new music, because I think that's the best thing about Warped Tour.
Absolutely, man. Totally agree. And I remember in 13, you guys had, like, kind of like a crazy living room set up in the parking lot every day. You guys got plans for making it a little more comfortable again this year?
I was actually talking to some of the other bands that are going to be playing Warped Tour about doing a, about what I called it is a American barbecue party every day. Just like playing like Lynyrd Skynyrd, playing like, you know, the Eagles, and just like bringing you back to that, like your dad cooking you hamburgers in the backyard and just doing it American style. And, thinking that would be pretty funny to do something like that. And, so I don't know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I definitely would like to do a lot more like grilling out and just hang out. Yeah. Bring out the couches and just have like
Absolutely.
A chill spot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember you guys having a pretty sweet little setup a couple years back. And, we kind of ripped it off actually. We did Warped Tour last year, and what we ended up doing is well, and this is true. People might dispute this. We invented the back porch. You know, when you take your trailer door and you like put something under it so it's flat so you can sit on it. We invented that. We did. It's true.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Okay. So we invented it. But we took it a step further last year. We got some AstroTurf, stapled it on to the back. Yeah. And we tried to have like the best hangs on the tour. That was like what we tried to be known for. So hopefully sleeping with sirens.
That's the cool thing about...
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about Warped Tour is like it's almost like camping, dude. So it's like when you, it's all about like finding your favorite campsites.
Right.
And, yeah. So it's sweet and it's cool if you got the cool campsite.
That's right.
You feel like the cool kids on the block as people are cruising over.
Absolutely. Well, you got 30 minutes on stage, so you got another like 23 and a half hours of the day to hang, right?
Yeah.
Not really, but
maybe this year we'll bring out like 12 to 13 puppies, dude, and we'll just have like a puppy petting section.
Dude.
So you can come out and you can just lay down with a bunch of cute puppies and just get the love in, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's lonely on tour. You got to get cuddles, dude. So you got to have like some nice soft golden retrievers out there, just some soft puppies to cuddle with.
You guys don't have a bus dog, do you, when you tour?
No, we had a bus dog, I think probably the second or third year when we were in a van, and It was just too much work, dude. Like we felt so. I don't like bringing dogs around like loud music and stuff too, because they can obviously hear better than us. So it's like it was just rough. I think on the pet. I know that Telly from The Word Alive has his dog that he brings out all the time.
Oh yeah,
and she's freaking cute, dude. He's got a Frenchie,
right?
And or a Boston Terrier. I'm not sure, but anyways, he brings his dog out all the time, and so I at least get to. I love dogs. So I get to spend some time with his, and that's good for me. So.
That rules. Now that rules. So another thing you guys are doing is the Road to Warp Tour, which you're going to Alaska. Is that your first time there?
Yeah, it will be my first time there.
Dude, it's so beautiful. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, here it's awesome, but I almost wish that we were going during the season where it's just dark the whole time, because I've seen the movie 30 Days of Night, and I feel like I have a lot of vampire instincts. So like, I'm a night crawler. So like an all day thing, I heard it's fun, but at the same time, it could piss me off when it's like bedtime and it's like the sun's still beaming in the window, you know?
Yeah, no, it definitely kind of makes it a bit harder to sleep. But I'll tell you, man, the Alaskans know how to party like so insanely that I'm sure you're going to be like a few drinks deep when it's time to go to bed, so you'll probably fall asleep just fine.
Oh, well, we'll see, dude. I mean, my band, not me, me excluded, me and Nick Martin, we're both like the old guys of the band now.
Oh,
so
yeah?
It's like, you'll catch me and Nick Martin Irish dipping pretty early in the nighttime. And he perfected it, and I've kind of stole it from him. But basically, he's the king of Irish dip. And the Irish dip is just basically like just dipping out without anyone knowing. And there's been times where Nick will be sitting next to me at a bar or something, and I'll turn to the right, and then I'll turn to the left, dude, and he's just gone. And the rest of the guys, like, it'll take him like an hour and a half to be like, where'd Nick go? I'm like, dude, he's gone. I've been gone. Like, he is the king of Irish dip. He calls an Uber on his phone. He's out. He doesn't even say goodbye.
Wow.
So he and I have like established this whole Irish dipping thing, dude. So it's like, we need our 8 hours. He and I,
of course. Absolutely. Well, I mean, make sure you explore when you're up there, because Alaska is so, so incredible. Like, I mean, the partying aside, it's just so beautiful. So
yeah, I would love to definitely do that.
That'll be awesome. And I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I want to ask you about a couple things. I know you guys have an acoustic live record coming out, which is a bit different. Not everybody is doing acoustic live records, you know, in our world.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? When does it come out? And are you guys going to be playing any acoustic stuff on Warped?
I don't think we are. And the only reason is because we used to do like the acoustic basement, but I heard they're not doing that this year.
Yeah, they're not. No.
And again, I feel like putting an acoustic song into your set at Warped Tour is just kind of like it's a buzzkill, you know?
Oh, yeah. I agree. I just was curious.
But I'm very excited about that record because, you know, I feel like I'm very much a product of history and, you know, history within our scene of music has given me a lot of ideas for what to do with our band. You know, we did a acoustic record a few years back and, you know, the Starting Line did that record right before they did. I think it was their second album, their second full length. They did that acoustic record kind of in between. That gave me the idea to do our acoustic record in between because I remember loving that record so much and it was so different. And I just felt like it was just one of those things that you can kind of hold on to forever. And then, you know, Dashboard did the MTV Live and Unplugged kind of record that they did. So that gave me the idea to do that for us. And it definitely has that vibe. Like you hear the songs and then, you know, the thing with live records is what you hear is what you get. You can't really fix those that much. So it's like, there's kind of like a unfinished vibe to it, which is nice.
Sure.
It gives you like the ability to just stand behind what you do. And then you have like the interactions from your fans. Like you get to hear the banter from the band talking and all of that. And it's just, it's a really cool thing. If you can't come see us live, pick up the record because you'll be able to experience it in your living room. And that's kind of what we were trying to accomplish. So.
Absolutely. And that comes out April 8th on Epitaph Records. So make sure everybody checks that out. Oh, another thing I got to ask you, because this is the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast, I got to ask you how your voice holds up on Warped Tour and if you have any tricks for the, you know, the changing schedule and all that.
I feel like it actually holds up a lot better on Warped Tour than it does on other tours. I think anytime you tour in the summer, it's good for you to like, to just be outside. I mean, my biggest tip for any singer coming up is to just wake up early, like go to bed early, stay away from going out and being in loud places and talking over like loud people talking and loud music, and then wake up early. Cause the best way to warm up your voice is to wake up, grab some coffee or some tea, something warm on your throat, and then just, you know, do talking throughout the day. Cause that's going to be warming up your voice before you have to go to showtime. And, you know, the difference between Warped Tour and normal shows is, you know, normal shows you're going to be playing anywhere between 7, 8, 9, or 10 o'clock at night. On Warped Tour, you could wake up and find out, holy shit, I got to play at 11.
Yeah.
And if you're waking up at 10 o'clock in the morning, then you're hosed. So it's important to, I like to wake up around like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, get some coffee, wake up. And that way my voice is kind of already there before I start pushing it to like the next level. So that's my advice.
That's smart. Cause you know, if you're out at the barbecue late and like Lyman sees you out there, you're playing first. I know they do that.
Yeah. I think that especially now, dude, as we're getting older, I think it's important for us to, you know, when you're a young dude and you can bounce back from all that stuff, like whatever. But I think it's important for any band to obviously put into perspective what's most important. And the most important thing is putting on the best show for your fans that are paying the money to come out and see you and support you. And if you're going up on stage hungover, drunk, or if you're going up on stage and you've killed your voice because you thought it was more important to spend the night out with your friends talking loud at a bar, then it's just going to end up showing later on in your career and in your life. So it's like important for me now to give our fans who support us over the years the best show that they can come out and see. So that's my goal.
Good for you, man. And you're turning 30 next month. So are you ready for that?
God, dude, you put that out on blast on a podcast, dude?
Oh, shit. Dude, yeah, come on. I'll Google your name. It comes up.
Yeah. I'm going to be 30 next month. But I feel like the best I've ever felt. I mean, I haven't really drank for, I mean, I'm not pushing almost a year yet, but I'm getting really close to that.
Oh, good for you.
Been working out every single day and just trying to get my mind and body back to like a right place. You know, as I get older, I just kind of like, I see my daughter grow up and I think to myself, you know what? I want to see her graduate and get married and I want to be around for all that stuff. So trying to keep myself as healthy as possible and stick around a little bit longer.
Good for you, man. Hey, I love to hear that stuff, and I'm glad to hear that you're excited for Warped Tour, and I hope you have a great summer, man, and I hope to see you around.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I love the podcast. I listened to the one that you did with Aaron Gillespie a little bit back.
Nice. Yeah.
And really, really, really enjoyed it, dude. So keep doing your thing, and I'll keep listening to it.
Thank you, man. Yeah, and you should come on for a full episode sometime. We'll talk.
Would love
it. We'll get nice and in-depth about things.
Cool. Sounds awesome.
Thank you, Kellen.
Thank you so much, Shane, for having me.
Yeah, have a great day, man.
All right, later.
All right, take care. Hey, I'm back. This is Shane. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kellen. On this podcast, we always play music. So here's one of my favorite Sleeping with Sirens songs from their latest album, Madness. Here's the song Gold on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Sunsets on Long Island, roll the windows down in the van. Lost my map on the Jersey Turnpike, but it's okay, we ain't looking back. All we ever want is gold. One way on this winding road. We made our mistakes, it's not too late. We had to learn the hard way. Bridges will burn, now it's our turn. We had to learn the hard way. Cause all we ever want is gold. We made our mistakes, it's not too late. We had to learn the hard way. It's 2 a.m, can't seem to find the words for us.
Again, up next, we have kind of the ultimate Warped Tour veterans. Like I said in the intro, I saw them play the first time I ever attended Warped Tour in 1997, and they also need no introduction. Here's my conversation with Aaron Barrett of Ska Legends, Real Big Fish. I'm here with Aaron Barrett. Is that how you say your last name, Barrett?
Yes, sir.
That's easy. That's easy. my name is Told, which is like the easiest last name ever, yet somehow people still find a way to fuck it up every day. So I don't even know.
Yeah, no, I get Barnett a lot. Bennett.
Yeah, I can see that.
The Bennett's.
That's right. Well, Thomas from Strike Anywhere, I just talked to him a little while back, and his last name is Barnett. So I could see that.
That's an honest mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then I go to Starbucks, and they write my name like the girl spelling on my coffee.
Right, sure.
Pisses me off.
Really? It makes you angry?
Not really. I don't care. I'm used
well,
to it.
Well, we're here to talk about Warped Tour, and
let's talk about my name some more instead.
We could. I mean, you know, we could do. We got to do a full hour, man, and then we can get into all the origins of having a double vowel to start your name and all the weirdness with that. But yet, you're always first on everything that's alphabetical, which probably gets you ahead of the game. But unfortunately,
all right, we'll talk about Warped Tour. That's fine.
You guys are on the whole thing. Is this like number 7 or something for you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, we did 97. Then we did 2002, 2008,
yep.
2013.
Yep.
Am I skipping one? What Warped Tours did we do? 2010? 2010?
Yeah.
This
so,
is the 6th one.
Okay. Well, it's safe to
Crazy.
Say you guys Crazy. Are... You guys are veterans. People say that my band are veterans. And what's funny about that,
do
we've
like
done...
when people say that? Like, you guys are veterans. You're elder statesmen.
Well, I don't love it.
They're just saying but, you're old. And it hurts.
But it,
just kidding.
I don't know. I'm used to it at this point. But, you know, what's funny about you guys, though, and you said you did it in 97. I saw your band play in 1997. I was 16 years old. And that was my
At the
first
Warped Tour?
Yeah, that was my first Warped Tour.
No way. Which one?
And it was I'm from Toronto, but that year it wasn't in Toronto. It was in London, Ontario.
Oh, okay.
So we begged my friend's dad to drive, like, it's like, you know, London is like, I don't know, almost 2 hours from Toronto. So yeah, we piled in the car and I saw your band play, and then I remember back then.
Awesome.
There was basically like 3 stages, you know. There was kind of like a regular stage, and then like one that was like basically bands playing on like the back of a flatbed trailer. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot less stages. There was like one main stage, right, and then just like a couple side stages.
Yeah, that was it. And obviously
that was
now,
a good year too. There were so many good bands on that I liked.
It was awesome, man.
Blink
I remember
182 was on that one.
Yeah, I remember Blink 182. That was I missed them because I had to choose between them and I think it was Millencolin that day.
Oh,
and,
wow. Yeah,
and then
Liquid 82 was on like a little side stage too.
That's right.
They weren't the big deal that they are now.
That's right. And then there was and Sugar Ray played and Mark
Sugar
McGrath
Ray.
Jumped on me.
He jumped on you?
He jumped. Yeah, he jumped like off the stage and landed literally right on me, like shirtless, all sweaty. And that was like, you know.
Well,
they
you're
were
stoked, right? He's a hunk.
Not really. I liked the band at the time because they were like a metal band back then. It was super weird.
Yeah, most of that. If you get that album that Fly is on, the big breakthrough hit.
Yeah,
it's all like punk songs and metal songs, and then there's the one Sublimey reggae song.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that because they played Fly, and it was like the total outcast from the set. And I don't think the record had even come out yet. And everyone's like, this is a weird song, but hey, I digress. But Warped Tour has changed. How do you feel about it now, and do you kind of like the way it's changed, or do you miss the old days?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people always talk about, you know, the old days of the Warped Tour. It's not the same anymore. It used to be like this. It used to be like that. But just like you're saying right now, bringing up Sugar Ray, like, there were so many different kinds of bands, even back in the 90s or whatever,
right.
doing the Warped Tour. I mean... Limp Bizkit was on the Warped Tour on that one.
That's right.
I think Ice-T was on it for a while.
Yep.
Just so many random bands and like different eclectic mix of bands. So I think people forget about that and they just remember, you know, the 5 bands they went to go see a lot of times.
Yeah, I think you're
and right. And I think it's a lot of older people complain about it sometimes because, you know, they were in their teens or early 20s and like you got your scene that you're into and you know this music that you really love and you go see these bands that you're really into. And then, you know, as music trends change and stuff like that, you know, different bands come in and that are popular and you look at it and you're, I don't know any of these bands. So,
right.
I don't know. I think I'm more open mind about it and just understand that, you know, new bands come up and kids get into them and I don't know. So yeah, definitely it's changed, but it's, how could it stay the same? It can't be the same, you know, 10, 20 bands every year.
No, it can't.
I mean, it could.
Well, they have,
people
like,
still complain then too and say, oh, it's always the same bands at Warped Tour every single year. Bad Religion every year. You know what I mean?
That's right. Well, there's that
things,
it's not,
to change to stay exciting.
Well, there was that It's Not Dead Fest too that you played, which was like very much a
fun
throwback to you know, the late 90s Warped Tour scene.
That definitely was a 90s Warped Tour.
That must have been awesome. I wish I could have come out for that. How was that show?
That it was, aside from the dirt field that we were all in and just like the huge dust cloud that everybody was kicking up and like the black lung that we all got from it, it was pretty amazing.
I've got the black lung, Pop.
Oh, I got to see Zoolander too.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet either, man.
Anyway, It's Not Dead Fest. Yeah, that was, I can't believe how many people showed up too. That was 25,000 or I
wow.
can't remember.
Yeah.
It was big.
Yeah.
And a lot of, I think the Warped Tour people didn't think that like that many older people would come out to a festival like that, which is why they try to keep the Warped Tour, like the younger kids' music, I guess. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, what you're
making, theories.
What you're saying is making perfect sense. And
but
like,
it proved that even older people, old school people that like the old punk rock Warped Tour days will still come out and see that kind of a show too.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I mean, obviously there's another, you know, band from your era, Less Than Jake, who I'm sure you're good buddies with over the years, and they've done Warped Tour like 15 times or something insane.
It's like us or them every other year.
Yeah, like do you ever feel like it's the token ska band? You guys have to get one or the other
or
both?
Seems like that. Yeah, for a while it was us or Less Than Jake every other year, and then it became us, Less Than Jake, or Streetlight every year.
You're right, yeah.
And then now us and Less Than Jake together, so that'll be awesome.
It will be awesome, man. And I mean, there's always synergy in that too, you know. But ska is not nearly as big as it was in the late 90s, or you know, and it was huge for a few years back then. And I'm sure you've seen it, you know, go away and get smaller. But there's still ska bands out there, and there are still people that really give a fuck about it. And I mean, your fan base is like still pretty insane. All over the world. So how is that now?
Because
like, I'm a little disconnected from that, and I'm just kind of wondering how like that is if you've seen changes, or if people are just like, I don't know if people are trying to relive that era, or if it's kind of like a new era now.
I think it's a little of both. There's a lot of people that it's nostalgic for them, and then there's always, you know, younger people who are getting into the ska scene and just finding out about it. Yeah, a lot of, you know, just like in the 90s, it was on the radio for a minute, you know, a couple
sure.
of bands got on the radio and there was like some talk about ska in the mainstream, but pretty much it stayed kind of where it was and got even bigger. Actually, I think that kind of took it up to another higher level of more people knowing about ska in the 90s. And then it just, the underground scene just kind of slowly spread more and more all over the world. Like, I wouldn't say that it's gotten smaller. I would say that probably more people know what ska is now than ever.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Even though you don't see a big hit ska song on the radio or anything right now, just, I'd say the underground scene is still going pretty strong, which is good for me.
Hey, it's good for you
guys.
Because
I'm in a ska band.
And you, yeah, and you guys are still doing it. And, I mean, you know, it was one thing, too, is like whether or not we talk about ska or the type of music or whatever, the genre, the fact that you guys really had that, you know, I like to call it like lightning in a bottle with, you know, having a hit song on the radio back in whatever that was, like 97. And most bands that do that and kind of, you know, never can repeat on that kind of success, most bands just go away. Most bands kind of slowly die. Their albums kind of get worse and worse. People care less and less until they're gone. And you guys
yeah.
have not had that happen at all. In fact, like, I mean, I think I saw you guys play like in one of the European festivals we did with you guys, and it was like insane. Like, you guys were headlining, and there was like 50,000 people watching you guys singing every word. It's like, so is there anything you can attribute that to, or is that just too hard for you to even understand why it happened for you guys and so many other bands who just, they fall by the wayside?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think our ultimate goal was to be, you know, like on the radio and, you know, be the kind of band that had hits all the time and played that game, you know, the music industry game.
Yep.
Our goal was to, you know, play shows and make a living just touring and playing whatever shows we could. And just getting the hit song in the 90s was kind of a bonus to us, and it helped us get the music out to, you know, more people than would have normally heard about us. And
absolutely.
Also being in the basketball movie, I think that was even, that helped us even more than Sellout being on the radio.
You think just, so?
I think so, because more, I feel like, especially nowadays, more people know us from basketball than from having the big hit song.
That's
in the
so
90s.
Funny, man, because that movie, like, I saw the movie in the theaters. Actually, saw it in the theaters twice.
Because
I liked it, like, I loved it so much that I saw it twice, and I think I might be the only person that ever saw it in the theaters twice, because it wasn't like, it was not a big hit originally when it came out.
Oh no!
It took like many many years of you know, that, like, that, I don't know, VHS tape probably at the time, like, getting passed around before that movie became like a cult hit. And now that you say that, it's super funny to me that you really believe that, and that's true. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and I mean, you can tell, because most of the people, not most of the people, but, you know, a huge percentage of the people will say, oh, I love you guys at basketball. I love Take On Me. I love Beer. The songs from basketball are the ones that people love the most.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So pretty crazy, and that's helped us out a lot, too.
How did that come about back in the day? How did, like, the South Park guys, did they go after you, or was it... like a management thing, or just, you know?
I'm still trying to figure out exactly how that happened. Like, I get asked that all the time, and I'm really not sure, because we weren't, like, we were big fans of South Park and Trey and Matt, but we didn't know them.
Yeah, I feel like at that point, South Park was, like, super, super new, too, or, like, I don't even know if it was...
It was pretty new, yeah.
Like, really new. Like, I feel like I didn't even really know about South Park when I saw the movie, which is weird, but I must have, but...
Yeah.
But I mean, now obviously South Park's like this huge thing. Like, maybe you should have kept in touch with those guys.
Well, I never got their number, you know. I just kept to shake their hand and say hi. But yeah, I'm not sure how we got in it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those weird things, like, where people are like, I don't know, like, and of course that
somebody probably called, you know, was calling all the record labels. What's the hottest new band you got? And all the hot new bands were busy, so they got us in it. So,
right on. That's awesome. No, man, you guys. I mean, I've loved your band for many years, and it's great talking to you, man.
Thanks, man.
I won't keep you too much longer, but I got to ask you guys about, you know, the last record came out in like 2012. You know, you're going to be on the Warped Tour. Can we expect something to be coming out pretty soon?
We pretty much decided that, you know, after the last album came out, and then we had a Christmas album come out, that we've completed our catalog, you know, like, we got the greatest hits, we got acoustic album, we got a Christmas album, we got a live album, we got a bunch of studio albums. So really, you don't need any more, do you? Come on.
Really? Okay.
There's a point in a band's career where you just got too much music, and then just imagine a new fan coming in, they don't know, they get overwhelmed. Too many albums.
Right, but I mean, are you serious about that?
That's my excuse, because we don't have a new album coming out yet.
Okay, so that's not real. I don't know how to read you, dude. There's like
it
times.
It sounded good, right?
I mean, that's a headline right there, I guess. Real big fish to retire, but still play shows.
The Real Big Fish catalog is complete.
I don't know, though. I mean, There is a certain amount of that, though. Like, you see, like, I mean, and the last thing I want to call you guys is like a heritage act, because that's like the most disgusting term they throw around these days now, right? But
really, I haven't heard that one.
Heritage act? You haven't heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. It's like, you know, bands like that are throwback to a certain genre only, and people only come to see, you know, and they're not doing anything new. And I mean, like, you know, I mean, the obvious one would be like the Rolling Stones. Like, when was the last time they put out a record? But they still tour, and it's still massive. And, you know, I kind of just thought that that's what you meant by, you know, by saying that. But It is true though.
Like I sometimes, you know, I'll get into a band like the Rolling Stones. I've listened to the Rolling Stones a long time, but I'm just a band, you know, an old band that has like a million albums. Like Bob Dylan, I just watched his documentary.
Yeah.
About him. And I was like, "Oh, Bob Dylan, awesome. I always loved him. I want to check out more albums." And he's got like 50 albums.
Oh yeah, you don't even know where to start.
I'm like, "Where do I start?" I mean, okay, greatest hits, whatever. Okay, then I get the
Yeah, but so you
But you know, I'm working on it.
So you are working on a new record.
No, I'm working on listening to all the Bob Dylan albums.
So there's no new album, and there'll never be
not
one.
So much.
I love that you're so non-committal, which is fuck, whatever. That's cool, man. So, geez, I don't even know where to go from there.
The set list is hard enough to make anyway, you know?
Well, yeah, the set list.
Throw another new album in there.
That's right. The set list gets harder, but don't you worry about, without new material, some of your fans just getting bored, like seeing the same, basically the same set list for the next foreseeable future that you want to keep touring?
You would think so, but it seems like over the last 20 years of touring, people go the most crazy over the same songs. So
yeah.
We try to mix it up and keep it, you know, fresh, get some new songs in there, different songs in there. But we always get the biggest reactions for the Turn the Radio Off songs and the ones that were in basketball.
Right.
So there's some other ones that people really like that came out later, but
yeah, it's just really worth a try. No, I mean,
there's a couple songs that people really love from our last album, like Everyone Else Is an Asshole.
Yeah,
and I Know You Too Well to Like You Anymore.
I like the Punisher.
Good reaction.
I like the Punisher song. I could relate. I could really relate to that one.
There, huh?
Of
you
course, yeah.
Like.
We all have. We all have. man, I didn't even ask you any singing questions, but we got to talk again, man. I would love to have you back on a full episode and really
sure,
like talk about Real Big Fish and your career and all these old memories, man. But sadly, we're out of time. Geez, I feel like there's something else I wanted to ask you, and now I can't remember.
Am I excited to be on the Warped Tour?
Are you excited to be on the Warped Tour?
Hell yeah! Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be. A lot of my old friends are going to be on this Warped Tour, I think. So it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Make sure you you get the good beer. Make sure you sign up for the good beer. You don't want to be drinking Bud Light all summer. They got the Lagunitas IPA, but it's hidden. So
we know their games.
I know you do. Seven times on the Warped Tour. Hey, Aaron, thank you very much for doing this, and I hope to see you around, man. All the best.
All right.
Hey, one last thing. I always play music on my podcast. Is there a song you want me to rip right now for the people to hear? You got a favorite? Maybe something a little less known?
How about Punisher? We're just talking about
there it. There it is. Here's the song about our lives. This is Punisher by Real Big Fish on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem.
Your hand. I may have smiled. I was just trying to be nice, but you forced your way into my life. And now it's years from then, and you're still hanging around with no respect for personal space. You're always right there in my face. Calling you a stalker is a little harsh, but that's almost what you are. Always showing up when you're not invited. Here is something that I finally decided. I gotta tell you, you're a Punisher. You're unbearable, you are terrible. Punisher. You just torture us and I have had enough. Punisher. You have got to go, how can you not know that you driving crazy? It's amazing how annoying you are. Come again, making yourself at home, but no one even likes you. Can't you get that through your skull? Don't you see the dirty looks? Don't you notice I don't keep in touch? You're pushing, and I've been pushed around too much. I guess you're too crazy to see the nuisance that you are. But
but you have reached the end of my toleration. And now it's finally time for a confrontation. I gotta tell you, you're a Punisher. You're unbearable, you are terrible. Punisher. You just torture us and I have had enough. Punisher. You have got to go, how can you not know that you drive me crazy? It's amazing how annoying you are. You are always showing up when you're not invited. Here is something that we have finally decided. I gotta tell you, you're a Punisher. You're unbearable, you are terrible. Punisher. You just torture us and I have had enough. Punisher. You're unbearable, you are terrible. Punisher. You just torture us and I have had enough. I know that you got me crazy. It's amazing that it went so far.
So there it is with Aaron Barrett. I don't really know how to read that guy, and I'm not really sure if he was serious about the Real Big Fish discography being complete or if they got any more music coming. I don't know, so I'll let you guys decide if he was serious or not. Up next, my good friend Daniel from Capsize, and they are about as hardworking a band as you could ever imagine. They basically do not stop. We talk about it a lot in the podcast. I really wanted to have him on to talk about his experience because last year he was a crew member. Now he's in a band on the tour. So it'll be interesting to hear that perspective. So here it is, my conversation with Daniel from Capsize. What's up, Daniel?
What up?
I'm here with Daniel of Capsize. We're on the back of my tour bus, and it's nice to run into you guys in LA.
Yeah, man, it's great. Super cool.
And you guys are on tour on a little headlining run, just out to So What Fest?
Yep. We, we're from San Diego, so we had these starting point shows in Riverside and Los Angeles, and yeah, today we're just hanging out. Came to visit Being Us Notion guys and Rarity guys, and obviously you guys too.
So
and Amorosa too. Yeah, we're literally have friends all over this tour. So
that rules.
Yeah, that rules.
Yeah, we were trying to get you guys to jump on the show.
I know.
And that would have been really cool, but you know, unfortunately, well, it's a 5-band bill, and you know how Los Angeles can be with the. Some of the red tape you have to cut through to get.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going happen. Down or not, but like Being Us Notion was kind of like coaxing us to like. Just hop on and play like one song literally with all their stuff tonight.
Yeah,
like, literally randomly.
You should do it.
I guess we'll see. Yeah.
Why not? Right?
I'm not opposed to it.
I mean, hey, we'll play a little later so you can jump on and do a couple songs. Why not?
Yeah, I'm down.
And I'm sure all the kids would be stoked to see that.
Tack 5 minutes onto the bass set.
The impromptu set is always good.
We'll get the show going for you.
So
heat up the room.
The reason we're here, part of the reason we're here, is to talk about Warp Tour, and you guys are doing half of it this year.
Yep, second half.
And what's kind of interesting is it'll be the first time for Capsize on Warped, but not the first time for you personally because you were doing merch last year for 68.
Yeah.
So you're a bit of a Warp Tour veteran, but on the crew side instead of the band side.
Yep.
So are you looking forward to performing instead of doing merch?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is this year with Warped Tour, like, even though I was just doing crew stuff last year, like, that kind of got me in the mindset to work super hard on the band end of things. So honestly, I just feel like super prepared, and I'm super glad that I got the chance to work at it before, because now I can go in like really pointing my band in the right direction and making sure that we're making the best use of our time there. And we're definitely going to try and like take advantage of the fact that of how big opportunity it is to get to all those people that are interested in the pretty much the same thing in the same place. So we're definitely going to be doing footwork all day, every day, like working super hard to let people know we have a new record and stuff. So
right, and you have a new record that's going to be coming out while you guys are out.
Yep.
Do you have a title for it?
No.
Still unannounced.
That's literally the last detail that's pending right now. Everything's there. Just got the masters. Just got all the art finished. Track listing. Everything is done except for the album title.
Really?
Yeah, everything.
That's kind of funny.
We even have a music video and still no album title.
That's so weird. So why is it so difficult for you to come up with that?
Honestly, just because, like, with our last record, I just, like, you know, picked a song title and we just did a title track, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I just wanted to do something different this time. And I've just kind of found it a challenge to find something that came supernaturally, so I guess I'm pretty much just going to be listening to the record on rotation until it, you know, comes to me or whatever. But I didn't want to pull from the lyrics, and I didn't want to pull from the titles. I just wanted to like encompass it somehow. And like I said, I'm just being careful about it. So
the album isn't a concept record or anything.
No,
basically, it's just a collection of songs. So are you trying to find kind of something that ties it together? Is that the idea, or can it be something completely external?
Well, I feel like the songs tie themselves together, but I'm looking to find something that, I don't know, just like encompasses the entire mood of it perfectly.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Matty Mullins of Memphis May Fire, and he says that like Rise Records and their band and stuff, they actually try to come up with an album title sometimes even before they've started writing.
Oh, really?
So they can kind of have you like, yeah, like we're working on this record with a cool name to kind of like start the wheels turning,
okay. Yeah,
you know, start
funny.
Promoting it literally before, you know, it's even started, you know, nothing has even started. So that's really funny that you guys are waiting till the last minute. And you're not going to self-title the record.
No,
or anything.
No. I've actually ran into other bands myself too that they have literally put their new album title on a T-shirt that's for sale at the table, and the record has not even hit the studio. Like they haven't hit the studio yet.
That's
they only
so
have pre-pro,
funny.
But they're promoting the title on a T-shirt.
That's so funny.
Which is,
man.
I don't know. I mean, maybe if I could have thought of something beforehand, I would have. But like I said, that was just like the last thing on my mind while we were recording. I was just trying to make the songs cool. You know what I mean? So yeah.
And it's been a pretty crazy last little while for you. Like, I mean, you got off Warped Tour and, you know, well, being a crew guy on Warped Tour and now singing for Capsize, and you guys have had a pretty whirlwind last, like, whatever it's been, 6 to 9 months.
Yeah. We've been going since August.
You guys have not stopped.
Straight after working at Warped Tour, we went to Australia, straight from Australia, flew to the recording studio, recorded some singles, and then we were home for like a short amount of time, and then we went straight into two different European tours back to back, straight into your tour. Didn't go home for Christmas, straight into, I know this sounds ridiculous, but
yeah.
Literally after our tour ended in New York, you know, like I mentioned earlier, like just stayed in New York for a bit and then toured to the studio, stayed there for the entire month of January, and then toured back home, and then yeah, we were just home for 3 weeks right now before going back out again.
Yeah, that's crazy, you know, and like I thought I went hard, you know, I mean, my band Silverstein, you know, we still go hard. I mean, we've slowed down maybe a little bit from, you know, our younger days.
Yeah.
When we used to go hard, but I don't think we ever went that hard. Like, I don't think I ever missed Christmas. Like, I've always at least been able to go home for Christmas.
Yeah.
So you saying, you know, you missed Christmas, and I think before this started, you said you'd missed like 3 out of 4 of the last Christmases just for being in Capsize, and it's like, why? I mean, do you really feel like that's necessary to get your message out there and promote your band? Like, these are the things you have to do to set yourself apart? Or what's kind of your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is I don't even, whenever we have to endure things like that, like missing Christmas and stuff, I honestly don't, I'm not expecting anyone who follows the band in any sense to even, like, recognize that. I just realized that's kind of the reality of wanting to be as busy as we are. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, it is a big sacrifice, but I honestly don't expect anyone to, like, realize like exactly what kind of sacrifice it is. I just want to like be able to pursue like what I'm pursuing, like how I am, and you know, even if that means that there's some, you know, harder personal stuff to handle happening in the background, like it's honestly still just worth it to me. Like, I don't know, it's just still worth it.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you guys have had a few setbacks, and the one that, you know, I remember the best because it happened when we were around you guys was you guys getting all your stuff stolen. Literally the day before, you know, our tour started. And that happened, was that in Ohio somewhere?
It was actually, the day before.
The day before, it was literally the day before.
Was it the day before? Yeah. But yeah, no, it was, wow. That's
crazy. Which is, I mean, horrible timing, and especially, you know, you guys being from Southern California and that happening to you, like, the other side of the country, and, I mean, that must have been very, very difficult, and that would have destroyed some bands. Some bands would have been, fuck it, we're going home.
So, well, as soon as it happened, like, our, like, manager and label and, like, pretty much everyone that, you know, would be involved in dealing with a situation like that, like, they were all like, oh, like, are you guys gonna go home now? Like, that pretty much got asked right away.
Right.
But before I even told them that we, you know, what happened, that we, like, woke up to, like, an empty trailer, I still planned on showing up, like, on the first day of the tour. Like, I was like, well, this is, like, the worst thing ever, but... I'm still going to the first show. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we just... Unless someone in the band, like, literally fucking dies or, like, you know, would have some immediate family members in some super extreme condition, like, no one's gonna leave. Like, everyone's, like, extremely, extremely committed and, like...
The show must go on, cliche goes.
Like, unless it's, like, okay, this is, like, a life-changing event.
Right.
Then everyone's getting on stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's intense, no. Yeah, so basically, yeah, you touched on it a little bit. For the people that don't know, you guys went to sleep in a hotel and you woke up and you opened your trailer and it was empty?
No, we didn't open our trailer. We walked out to an open trailer. So we got to a hotel in Dayton, Ohio, after we had just played a show in Indianapolis, which was the last day of a headliner leading up to your tour.
Uh-huh.
So we had that one day off just between the two tours, and... Yeah, so we drove, like, you know, into the night, and then we didn't even get to the hotel until almost 4 in the morning, and then at 9 in the morning, we got a call, and I didn't know it was 9 in the morning. I just figured they were calling to say, hey, like, you know, it's checkout time. Like, I was not considering what time it was at all.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, there's some police at your van right now. Like, your van got broken into, and we were like, fuck, like, the van got broken into, like, well, we have most of our personal stuff, so I guess, like, let's go see how bad it is. But then we walk outside and the trailer door is literally wide open, and the only thing that was in there was like 6 boxes of merch and like the base cab, because obviously that's like the gnarliest thing in the trailer.
I always keep our base cab like in our drummer's backyard, because we're like, if somebody wants to steal it, they can take it.
we've like joked around about the fact that we were like, they should have just taken the base cab. Like, that could have just made our lives easier. But it was like I said, just a couple boxes of merch, the base cab, which I didn't expect them to want to take, and then one other like real big drum case. But yeah, like at that point in time, like literally everything was gone, dude. Like,
yeah,
it was insane.
So horrible.
Yeah, it was insane.
It's so horrible. And you guys dealt with the police, and I understand that it took some time, but you got some weird information along the way, and then you also ended up recovering some stuff, right?
So pretty much, so this is, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out just where to start, because it was just such a fucking, just insane situation. But, okay, so about 3 or 4 days after it happened, like, this really weird person was hitting us up on the internet, and I think I showed you and some of your band
guys about this.
He was hitting us up on the internet saying, like, hey, if I were to, like, share some information with you guys about the whereabouts of your gear, like could you compensate me for it? And I was like, dude, like, I honestly do not know if you're trying to get a reaction out of me right now.
Right.
But
if it's just some kind of troll.
If this is trolling, like, I guess, like, you win today. But if you're being serious right now, like, that's super unfair. Like, don't even message us back. And then he was like, I'd help you guys out, but, like, it would put my family on the line. So, like... Like, if you want me to, like, help you out, like I need to know that I'm going to get something out of it. And then so I just said, all right, well, fuck off then, I guess. Like, don't bother, because we're not going to do that. And then shortly after, like, we, like, shared that information, and then shortly after that, the police officers told us that they had caught some people robbing something else that where some of the stuff from another place got taken to.
Yeah.
Some of our stuff got recognized, I guess. Like, right. So essentially, like, a cop went to a place to go, confirmed that there was stolen stuff there.
Yep.
And they were like, hey, this is like that other stuff that got stolen from you know, the same area or whatever. And so anyways, someone got caught up doing a bunch of things, and I guess so our trailer was definitely not the only thing, you know, involved with all the stuff that was happening. They were probably robbing people, you know, on a daily or weekly basis.
Right, yeah. No,
and,
absolutely.
So anyways, so by the time we made it back to see, like, what it was that we recovered was those people were already in jail for something completely non-related to our gear.
Yeah.
So at that point, like, we were just like, well, whatever. Like, I guess that's just how it worked out. You know what I mean? So luckily we did get back a big chunk of stuff. Pretty much, like, we were still missing some of the higher ticket items, like, you know, guitar head, bass, like, some merch, like, and some stuff. And, a different condition than when it got taken from us.
Oh yeah.
There's
yeah.
stuff that had been clearly kind of like roughed around. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, we didn't, like, we really, really wanted to avoid the, like, GoFundMe thing. And, you know, we weren't trying to, like, make a huge deal out of it. We pretty much just put the word out there, like, letting people know, like, hey, like, it's tough right now, whatever. So
sure.
Pretty much, like, with what we did get helped out with from like a merch company that did us a favor with, like, just like an item to go towards, you know, the situation, and then also people just donating a little bit of money just on, you know, them choosing to, not even us having any sort of like page for it or whatever. We were able to get just enough stuff to show up to the first show of the tour.
Yep.
And like still get on stage without being like, hey guys, you know, we're the opening band, can we use everything? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So just out of pure, like, essentially integrity, we like took every cent of everything that we made for that like 30 hour time period, plus like every single cent like in the band bank account, and like got just enough stuff to get on stage with. And
yeah,
then,
of course.
And then but by the time everything had worked back out, like, you know, we got to sell back some of the other stuff, and yeah, it ended up pretty much evening out with
what you lost.
Yeah, with what we lost versus what we got helped with.
Right, right. And I'm sure, like, if all of a sudden all your gear turned up, like, the next day, you know, people still are trying to support you because like, want your band to succeed as fans of your band and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think anyone would have felt slighted, like, what the fuck? I gave them, like, $50, and then they found all their gear. I want my $50 back. Like,
yeah.
I don't really think that's how people's minds
yeah,
work.
Yeah, no, I'm not even – I wasn't afraid of that.
I'm
just saying that, like – at the end of the day, like, we didn't really lose anything, but we definitely didn't gain anything either. We just, like, made it out.
You gained the ability to finish the tour
and
all that. And you know, and that tour went directly into, you know, you didn't go home for Christmas.
And
you made a new record.
Yeah.
And
I feel like the conversation got, like, really dark for a second.
That's okay, though. I like that, man. And now we're going back to the bright side. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
On the Warped Tour. Have you, speaking of the dark side of Warped Tour, have any of the other guys in your band done Warped Tour before?
No.
So they don't know about the hardships that you know a little bit of, you have to push your gear,
how
hot it gets.
I've tried to explain it to an extent, but at the end of the day, like, I'm pretty proud of the way my band, like, carries themselves, and I honestly think that they're all going to be out there, like, putting their best foot forward, and no one's going to be complaining about it. Like, I know, like, what Warped Tour does to people, and I think that my band, like, has it in them to, like, handle it totally fine.
What kind of vehicle are you going to be in for this?
In our same van that we're in.
You're
right
doing
now.
A van?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, boy. I was hoping, I'm talking to a bunch of people for this special.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be the only band doing it in a van. And that is gnarly, man.
Yeah, we keep it real.
Because you get in a bus with 68.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Dude, you be careful, man. Those drives are far.
I know, yeah.
Actually, the routing this year is not that bad. The routing this year I saw is better than last year when we did it. But, dude, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we got
it easy.
Under control, man.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, Daniel, thank you for coming by. New Capsize record coming out on Warped Tour.
Yep.
They're going to be not stopping anytime soon, no matter what comes their way. Daniel, we always play music on this podcast. I want to play a Capsize song. What can I play? What can I play for the people?
Cool. So our newest single that we have online right now is a single from the fall, like I was talking about before. It's called You Can't Come Home the Same.
You Can't Come Home the Same.
Yep.
All right, here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks, Daniel.
Yep, thank you.
That's it. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It was really great, man. Three great singers, three great bands, three bands performing this summer on the Vans Warped Tour. So make sure you got your tickets. They're on sale now. The full lineup is announced. It looks like a great lineup from top to bottom. And of course, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast, because tomorrow I'm going to be back with three more singers also on this year's tour. You're going to have to come back tomorrow to find out who it is, but it's going to be awesome. Thanks again. This is Shane. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace and love.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com. Shh.